Blog Talk Radio.
In this episode, I will be interviewing Fifth Passenger director Scott Baker and actress co-writer Morgan Lariah. Hold on while they join here shortly. Scott, Morgan, you there? Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, is this Scott?
It is.
Hey, how you doing today, man? Welcome to the show. Is Morgan joining us, or?
Yeah, I got Morgan Lariah here, and so is Manu and Tereni.
Oh, wow. So they're all on the same line.
Yeah. So is it better? I kind of got you on speakerphone. Would it be better
okay.
if they're calling in? Or...
Okay, cool. Very cool. Well, how are y'all all doing today, by the way, everybody?
Fantastic. How are you?
Awesome. That's good stuff to hear. It's good. Well, let's. I guess we'll just kind of like go around like around the table, and then I'll ask questions, and anybody feel free to chime in and say whatever you think you can add to the question.
Cool.
First off, I guess we go like around the table introducing everybody. So I guess Scott, Morgan, and everybody can just kind of introduce yourselves and tell a little bit about your background, like things you do and such.
Okay. Well, I'm Scott Baker, writer, director, co-producer of Fifth Passenger. This is my first feature film as a director. I've written and directed a whole bunch of short films, and I do a lot of camera work. Cinematography, Steadicam, things like that. So that's me.
And I'm Morgan Lariah, and I co-wrote the Fifth Passenger Scott, and I also acted in it and produced it with him as well. I've made a couple short films before this. This is also my first feature film, and I've written a couple other features, but this is the first one that was made and produced and all that jazz. And I also do a myriad of odd jobs to support my rock and roll lifestyle.
Very cool.
And I'm Manu. Nice. I'm Manu Ente Reme. Some people may know me as Egypt from Star Trek Voyager and Star Trek Renegades, or Billy from One Tree Hill. I play Thompson in Fifth Passenger, and I'm the co-producer of the film. And I've been an actor for about 20 years and then moved into producing about 6 years ago.
Awesome. And there's somebody else on the line too, isn't there?
No, that's
is that everybody? Okay, I just was curious. I heard you said there was a bunch of people. I just didn't know who all was on the line. Now, you mentioned Star Trek, Manu. I was a big fan of Voyager as well. I love that show. Just curious, just start with you as a question, and we'll kind of go around the table. Being in the sci-fi background, how was this film, like, you set in deep space just like, like in your show, how is it a little bit, is any different kind of aspect, I guess, than that, how different was that from the show you were in, just curious, being in that kind of film?
That was what was so exciting about this movie. I met Scott a number of years ago when we were shooting a trailer for a thriller in the woods, and Scott was doing Steadicam. And we got to talking about screenplays and sci-fi scripts, and he wanted to know if I wanted to look at something that him and his writing partner had written. And I read it. Way back then, it was so different than Star Trek because, it's a psychological thriller/horror film in deep space. And it's not your run-of-the-mill, typical horror film or psychological thriller. It was really intelligently written. And the characters were really well written, and it's got an amazing ending. And I was blown away by the script in general and wanted to make it immediately. So I think that's why all, a bunch of friends of mine, actor friends of mine, like Tim Russ and Marina Sirtis and Armin Shimerman and Doug Jones and guys like that, Hanahate, got on board. All because this was something completely different than Voyager. More grounded in Voyager's a little bit you know, it's glossy. It's a little over the top. I love Star Trek and I love its style, but this movie is more gritty, more raw, more like down to earth and just gritty and raw. Whereas Star Trek is really clean, and the acting styles for this movie were a lot different than you would act in a Star Trek film.
I think something like about Star Trek, whether it's like Voyager, or like, but I think Deep Space Nine, some of those, you almost forget that they're in space, that there's so much in, you know, these huge ships and they're wandering around halls and in different rooms and things. And, you know, one of the things about Fifth Passenger that just got me so excited to push forward on this project is this idea of people lost in space in this little escape pod, and it's this lifeboat, and it's like you're in the middle of the ocean, and the fear of the void of space being this deadly thing that's always around you is part of what goes on in the film, and that's something I think doesn't play too big of a part in the Star Trek world. We're in this ship, and then we take this other ship, and we're on a planet, and you know there's very seldomly are people like afraid that they're going to get sucked out into space, or that they're going to because this space is a very deadly thing, and human beings aren't made to survive in space really. And so that's
right.
A constant element of the film is like we're going to run out of air, or what if this thing breaks and we get sucked out into space or whatever
It's a deep look at it's a deep look at how humanity and human beings act under extreme pressure, under not only the space and the void outside the ship, but what's going on inside the ship when it comes down to brass tacks and the proverbial crap is hitting the fan, how human beings behave.
Right. Now, you said the film has that retro, like, kind of thriller feel, much like that of the Alien series almost, like the old school stuff. We don't physically see the Fifth Passenger, I noticed, in the trailer. Like, what kind of approach are you going to bring about the unseen character? Are you going to go with more CGI or more physical practical effects? Or how are you going to see it at all?
That's a great question. I mean, we did do it the more traditional style. It's a practical... it's like an animatronic puppet. Thomas Supernost was our makeup lead, and also created the alien creature, and it's this terrifying little beast. One of the things about it is not showing it, because there's that fear of what is this thing that's stalking us, and I think the human imagination fills in with the unknown, what's lurking in the shadows, and that's certainly part of it. I think you see it, it spoils a bit of the fear of it, no matter how gruesome and grotesque the thing can be. If you look at it for too long, it spoils that. But I think having a practical puppet thing there on set is better in so many ways. I mean, it looks real, and so within the camera it just looks like it's actually there, because it is. And it's easier to shoot because you know where it's at in the frame, and the actors have something to reference. And it's cheaper in the long run than having to pay people to create the CGI thing.
But not even going to look real anyway.
Yeah, no matter how
right.
It kind of looks cartoony. But I think so much is the interacting with the actors. I mean, I'm sure Morgan can speak to that. There's one scene in particular that I know that I was able to push a performance from her that I just wouldn't have been possible without a CGI monster.
Having a practical effect like this was always something Scott really, really pushed for, because he's a big fan of all those, John Carpenter's The Thing and Aliens and all that old school styling and I'm so glad that he did from the beginning, because, again, as you mentioned, it saved us a lot of money, but also because I've done green screen work, and I like it. I think it's fun. It's fun to visualize these things, but there's always a part of my brain that's always thinking, like, oh, I, hope I'm staring at the right thing, and it's just, you know, this is a tennis ball or whatever. And then to actually have this practical alien on set was unbelievable. Like, it really, really affected my performance in ways I didn't even realize it was going to. And it was covered in this viscous goo that stank so badly. So on top of having this hideous, terrifying little creature on set, you could also smell it, and it was repugnant, and that was incredible too. And it was just very, very real. So, and then you get the slime on you. It was disgusting. It was fantastic.
And that was awesome. To your first question too. You know, something that was exciting about coming to this movie, and what was different about Voyager in this film was Scott was talking about the alien films and the genius of those practical aliens, that they were there and they were puppets and animatronics, and just how well they were designed. And I was excited to get to work on a film that was not going to rely on these modern day CG effects for the creature. And I kept thinking in my mind, like, we want to do Jaws in space, but not have a 155-day shoot. So it was just exciting to do that, I think, for all of us, to work with something that was going to be there and not going to be in an effect that we'd see years later or months later.
Right. And I noticed, like, you're master with the Steadicam, and I noticed there was a spacewalk scene of sorts in the trailer, and I think, Manu, you were the one that was responsible to go out on the back of the spaceship and kind of crawl in the hull and everything. And just curious, two questions. One's for you and one's for Manu. As a director and being with the Steadicam, how difficult was it to film that scene? And Manu, what was that like? Is it got to be something a little different than what you've done before?
Well, actually, the I did quite a bit of, you know, Steadicam in the film. And you know, for me as a director, it's nice because it's like I'm bypassing, you know, the middlemen. It's like one less person that I have to tell what I want it to look like. It's like I can just take the camera and I can go and I can do it. Actually, for the stuff that we did of the green screen, we didn't use any Steadicam. We those were all either like locked off shots or dolly shots, just for the sake of saving us as far as the budget goes, because it's like exponentially more expensive to do a green screen shot if the camera's moving all over the place. And so, so, you know, that's one of the advantages of, like, shooting in 5K, is that you have the room to move the frame within the shot, and so you can in post, you can add what looks like camera movement when you're actually just sort of, like, reframing the shot. And so that was one of the things. I've worked on a lot of projects with visual effects, and so I was really mindful as we shot the film to try to minimize not just the number of VFX shots that we were doing, but also the complexity of the VFX shots. Try to make them simple, because I knew that this is a tight budget film, and that we weren't going to have $2 million to spend on the VFX. Let's try to keep the number of VFX to a minimum and keep the ones that we do shoot as simple as possible. But it was definitely, like, just as a whole, being the Steadicam operator on my film, you know, there were times where, you feel the pressure of everybody's looking at you, because you're not just the camera operator anymore. You're also, you know, you're also the director. And so there were, a couple moments in the film where it just, those two roles together, you know, felt like a lot of pressure. Like, okay, I got to get this right, because I can't push the blame back on anybody else, because it's all, you know, this shot is all riding on me. So
we did have an amazing DP though. Her name's Iwana Vasili, and she was incredible with helping to visualize this film and bring the visual conceptual aspects to life. But yeah, Scott did all the Steadicam, and it really, I think, adds up a really great dynamic effect to it, and was totally necessary.
Yeah.
As far as
yeah, it looks really good.
On the ship,
oh, thanks.
Well, you said me. I go out on the ship, and as far as taking a hike outside and walking around on the outside of this spaceship that we're in, we did it really ingeniously, and so you know it's a twofold answer because one, all I'm walking around on is maybe 12 feet by 6 foot square piece of plywood up in front of a green screen. And then a lot of time I'm just in front of a green screen on the concrete floor, pretending like I'm walking around on the ship. So I didn't have a lot of space to work with, and I'm walking around on this giant ship, except I only have this small area to actually walk around on. So we did some really sort of fun things with camera where I walked backwards to make it look like I was walking forwards, and she was zooming in and zooming out as I was running backwards, but it actually looks like I'm running forwards. So it was difficult and fun, and green screen work in general as an actor, when you start doing it, you hate it because you don't have anything there to work off of. And
right.
But once you sink into your imagination and you start actually seeing, you know, you convince yourself you're stuck out there in space and you convince yourself what the spaceship looks like. There was a scene I had to go over to the edge of the plywood and look over the edge of the ship down at some damage that had been done and then radio down to a person to check it out. And, you know, I'm just looking at the floor standing on some plywood, but you have to go there in your mind. And so it's frustrating. The first few takes are always frustrating because you've got 20 people looking at you doing something kind of ridiculous. And as soon as you can block that out of your mind and go to the place in your imagination, then it gets fun. And once you believe you're there, then it all gets to be a real good time.
Yeah, and I got to add to Manu and Morgan for toughing it out in those spaces. I know they were sweating, especially Manu. He just looks at the space and he starts sweating.
Yeah. Wow.
So it's just maybe that's why I'm a director, not an actor. But having to deal with some of those things because you know he's not in space. He's in this thing and we're in the studio and it's hot and there's lights on. And he's sweating and between every take, we got to lift the mask up because it fills with the steam condensation of just him being inside of it and everything like that. And they're able to get performances. And I'm like yelling at him because he can't hear me through the helmet. So I'm yelling at him to look afraid or to say this or to say that. And we were on a time crunch because our budget was so small that we didn't have time to, okay, we're going to spend all day on this one little scene. It was like, all right, we got to get this and we got to move on because we got to shoot this. And Marina Sirtis is coming in an hour and we got to get set up because she's going to come in and we only have her for half the day or whatever. And so it was, all the actors, I give them so much credit for what they did because, we didn't have a lot of time to spend in these scenes and if this had been a $20 million film, we could have really taken our time with a lot of the stuff, and we just, that was just one luxury we didn't have, but they all were still able to be something amazing, and I think that's a credit to their acting ability, people like Manu and Tim and Armin who are, have been on TV and they know that, and I think that's something that for me was such a joy to work with people who, that's what they do, and they're used to going in for a season of a show where every day I'm coming into work and I'm acting and they're on set for 10, 12 hours a day every day and they just can kind of turn it on, and it's not a struggle. It's actually fun because they know what they're doing and they're able to jump into the character so quickly.
Right. Well, I have a question. I agree with what you're saying. The all the actors like Tim and, of course, you, Manu, and Maria, they've been, they're veterans of the sci-fi world, so they're used to all the, the film stuff. I have a question for you, Morgan. The film focuses around your character of Eve Miller quite a bit, pretty much the whole film. Now, in my opinion, there seems to be a lack in modern cinema, and I've done a lot of research. There doesn't seem to be much in TV for having strong female lead characters. Just curious as to what are your thoughts on this, and do you have any, like, inspirational words that you might like to share to individuals that are getting into the acting world and perhaps even encourage the studios to bring about kind of a change to this current trend in modern filmmaking and television?
Sure. Well, actually, I think there's a lot of strong female roles on TV, and I think TV is really championing all these amazing roles for women in a way. I mean, it's really the golden age of television right now, which is really, really thrilling. And looking at like the Emmys last night and seeing Game of Thrones win like everything, it was really incredible. And there's a lot of strong women on that. And I think also for writers, there's a lot of writing for women in television as well. But I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, and if you look at the numbers of directors, especially in television, like there's some television shows that have never hired a female director for an episode, which to me is just shocking. But these there's a lot of them, and they do exist. And then looking at the percentages of women who directed the top grossing films, that's also a very startling and depressing number. And the fact that these numbers haven't really changed since the 70s, I think is crazy. But I do think there is a change that's happening, and I think that there's a shift, and I think that there will be more women and just more diversity in general, because to me, you know, the fact is that the world is diverse, and so whomever is the lead in a movie or a television series, you automatically empathize with that character. You know, you see the world through their gaze, and there's a lot of power in that, and there's a lot of influence in that. And so I see things changing in that there will be more writers and directors who are diverse and are women, and we can start telling all sorts of different stories and having a different kind of gaze and kind of feeling through a different type of person, which I think is vital for our existence as human beings, because there are different people. So I don't know, as far as inspiration, I think I always just go back to, you know, if anyone has an idea for a story or feels compelled to tell a story, I always think there's a reason why. I mean, we don't know why, but you should tell that story anyway, because if you feel compelled to tell it, then I think it's going to help not only you, but it could possibly help somebody else. And so it's there for a reason. And I believe in that fundamentally, to my core.
And I'd say, as far as like, you know, advice or whatever, I mean, if even me, I mean, I'm an average white guy, and so I, you know, conceivably have all the advantages going into this, but the creating this film was still, you know, a struggle for us. And one of the reasons why I was able to make the film is because of some of the friends I made out here in LA, and one of them is Mark Vickery. And, you know, one of the things that he always says is, don't wait for someone to pick you. If you want to be a director or a writer or a actor, whatever, just go out and create it yourself and find the people that will work with you and do whatever you have to do to make it. Don't sit around waiting for the phone to ring. And that's something that the first time he said that stuck with me and was the, you know, one of the drivers to, you know, to push us forward to make this film, is that, you know, no one's gonna come and, you know, drop $10 million on my doorstep to help me make this movie. You know, we went out and we, you know, hustled and got people on board and, you know, went to Kickstarter and, you know, all those sorts of things. So
Right. I agree with you on that.
And
good advice he gave you there. Oh, go ahead.
I've been around long enough in this business, close to 20 years, to see a dramatic change in parts for women and roles for women and jobs for women. I mean, I remember being – I'm pushing 40 here, but I was 17, you know, and I remember the first 10 years of this business. I worked with a lot of dudes, a lot of white males in everything that I was in, and we've, you know, the last 6, 8, 10 years, we've seen a dramatic change in that. The dogma and the status quo has changed pretty rapidly, and it's nice to see.
Right. And Star Trek kind of pioneered some of that too. Oh, go ahead, Morgan.
Yeah, Absolutely. I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, you started off this interview talking about how Fifth Passenger is different from Star Trek, and I was thinking about some of the ways in which it's similar, and one of those ways is there is a fair amount of diversity in this film, and that's something I'm really, really proud of because it supports the story, but also because I just think it looks better. Like, I think it's beautiful that way. It's more interesting and visually to look at, and so, you know, why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we have that? And especially as a creator, it's something that I will always push for.
Well, right, I agree with you on that, too. Right quick before we wrap up, I have a question, and you each can answer it in your own words. Just curious, in each of your own words, could you describe, like, the message that you personally like the viewer to take from while watching The Fifth Passenger as a whole, the movie as a whole?
I didn't understand the question.
Like, what kind of a message would you like people to take from the movie while watching, like, as a personal, like, you know, overlooking the film, like what kind of message would it you like to take from the film while watching it?
Well, I think for me as a writer on the film, you know, I wasn't necessarily trying to make a statement or make someone come away with a certain opinion, but I like to raise questions and I want to you know, for people to question their beliefs about things. And with this film, it's a lot about, you know, morality and ethics because it's about that lifeboat in space. And
right.
So, you know, those questions come up of what's right and what's wrong. And when you're in an extreme situation and society breaks down and, you know, you have things like possessions and who's entitled to what and what does your station in life mean and you know, those are the kind of questions like what would you do to survive? I think that was the essential question that kind of runs throughout the film that we're asking. So I think it's more of a question I want people to think about than an actual answer, because I think that answer is different for everybody, and I think that's what the film is about. It's about how do different people approach that question of what would I do to survive.
The whole reason that I act in general, the whole reason that I do this is because I believe that good films, no matter what the character's choices are, if the characters are making strong choices as actual human beings, and making emotional hard choices, when you watch the film and it's a good film, you get affected by watching those human beings and you can relate to the choices they make and the reasons why they made those choices, whether they're cowardly or whether they're heroic and self-sacrificing. And the characters in this film make so many different choices that I think this film is going to affect people emotionally on a deep level in a lot of different ways. There's a few storylines going on that are emotionally powerful and impactful, and that's all that's important to me in my work, is that I affect people emotionally, because when you do affect people emotionally, you build empathy around the whole planet, and that's what I think is so cool about the art form of film. If you watch it, a great movie, you walk out of it more empathetic to the human condition, and you realize that we're all, you know, not just individuals out on our own, but that we're all the same thing.
Very cool. Very cool.
Well, I'm going to piggyback a little bit. Oh, fine.
What's that?
Well, I was just going to say, piggybacking on what Scott said, I think it's also about, to me, watching the film, it's about thinking you know who you are and then wondering who you really are under circumstances that are extreme. So that's
very
what the film was
cool. Very cool. Well, right quick before we end the show, I just wanted to ask y'all, do y'all have any, like, website links or any Twitters or anything like that you'd like to give
Absolutely.
Out for people to find out?
Yeah, well, what we're doing right now is on September 29th, we're going to be launching our Indiegogo campaign to fund the visual effects for the film. And so if you like what you heard, you can support us. You can just go to our website at fifthpassenger.com, and that'll take you right to to our page. We sell the information about the film, and you can donate to get costumes and props and things like that from the film, signed memorabilia. And we're on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Fifth Passenger, 5TH Passenger. So we're all over all the social medias there.
And what's really amazing about this film, if you want to mention it towards the end of the article, is that, you know, we put this thing together because we were lucky enough to find some sets that we could redecorate and do a couple of builds and make a spaceship of our own and save some money on. And so we decided to put up this Kickstarter, and Sci-Fi Fans supported it to the tune of, you know, I think $80,000, 82 grand or something like that, which sent us out on a path to make a movie, but $82,000 doesn't make a movie. And so we found other monies and spent some of our own monies, and this thing has ballooned into a big project now. And it's a cool film that the fans started. And we're so close to finishing. We just need to pay the companies that, two companies that are doing the visual effects on the film are two A-list kick-ass companies, you know, that do visual effects for big, big Hollywood films. And they need to be paid. And that's sort of the last ingredient to this film being the best film that it can be. And that's what we're doing. We're selling some of the perks in the campaign, where we're selling some of the wardrobe from the film and some of the props, and you know, people can have a chance to actually have a physical part of this whole thing.
Very cool. Very, very cool. Well, guys, Scott, Morgan, and Manu, it was very, very pleasure having you guys on the show. I had an absolute blast talking with you today.
Thank you so much for having us.
You're most welcome, and I absolutely cannot wait to see the Fifth Passenger, guys. You guys have a beautiful day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks. Onward and upward.
I'm so sorry. I forgot you were going to say it.